We are in the midst in Perek Divrei Yamim Beis, Perek Vav Pasuk Chav Dalid. We're in the midst of the Tefillah of Shlomo Melech and what's going on with Shlomo Melech's prayers. If your people are defeated by an enemy, because they did bad to you, and they do tshuva and they thank your name, and they daven and they supplicate in front of you in this house, you should forgive the sins of your people, and you should return to the people of the land that you gave to them and to their fathers. When the skies have closed up, and there won't be any rain, because they have sinned, they should daven to this place, they thank your name, yeshuva, and they do tshuva from their sins, then you should answer them. That's the idea behind it. Now, it's interesting over here. In Pasuk of Dalet, it says first they do tshuva, and then they daven, right? But in this Pasuk, when it talks about rain, it says they will daven, and then they do tshuva, right? So what's the pshat behind that? So in serious sins, you have to start with tshuva and then go ahead and daven. That's how you're able to win against an army. When it's so bad that you're losing in war and people are dying, that's what's happening. However, it's just that rain's not there. Now, granted, back then, that was also extremely dangerous. But if the issue is rain, where you're surviving, and that's okay, you just want rain as soon as you can, right? And you let nature take its course. In that case, you daven first, and then you could do tshuva later. Then it goes in a different way right over there. That's the idea behind it. And sometimes tefillah alone is going to be good enough when it comes to rain. You'll listen from the heavens, you'll forgive the sins of your servants and your people. You'll lead them. You'll teach them the proper path that they should go. You'll bring the rain to your land. When there's a hunger in the land, when there's a plague, any type of withering wind blast or whatever it is, different locusts, when the enemies among the gates, whatever, and there's any type of plague, any type of disease, called tefillah, called china, adam, any tefillah, any type of supplication that they have by any one of the people, right, or any of the people of Israel, everybody knows their own problems and their hurts. You know what they're going to do? They're going to spread out their hands over here to this base of Mikdash. You should listen from the heavens, from the place where your abode is. You will forgive them. You will know the forgiveness of his heart, because you alone know whether he means it or not, so that they may fear you, and all of your ways, called all the days that they live on the face of the garnish and the Sinu that you have given toward our fathers over here. You know all of their pain. You know everything that they did wrong. But not only by the Jews, you should also listen to the Goyim. Even the Goyim Asher, Lo Me'amcha Yisrael, who they are not part of the Jewish people, Obama Eretz Rechok, and they come from a faraway land, Leman Shimcha Gadol, in order to see your great name, Yadcha Chazoka, and your strong hand was Rachana to you, and your outstretched arm. Uvovi Spalo Abayzen, they come and they dive into this place, you should listen, right, from your holy abode. You should do everything that Nachri calls out to you, Leman Yedu Kol Ami Aretz Shemecha, said all the Ami Aretz know your name, Elir Oskan, they will fear you, Kamcha Yisrael, like your people Israel, Adaski Shimcha Nikol Abayzesh Abanisi, and they will know that your name is called upon this place right over here. Now, this is interesting over here. The Mefarish, quoting the Medrash, says the following. By every single other one, it's that you'll listen and you'll forgive that person, and then afterward, you'll know what's going on with that person, you'll know whether to do it or not. By the Goyim, if a non-Jew goes ahead and davens, you should do exactly what the Nachri says. Why? Because a Jew knows if he gets answered, it's because he deserves it. And if he doesn't get answered, okay, then obviously he has to work a little bit harder. By a non-Jew, if they daven and they don't get answered, they feel like there is no God. There's no God out there. There's nothing happening out there. It's like nothing's going on at all. For that very reason, it must be, you have to be able to say to the non-Jews, okay, automatically you'll be listened to. Because if we don't do that, it's going to be worse. And the non-Jews are not going to think that there's anything there whatsoever. So almost as if to say, Shlomo was saying, let the non-Jews' tefillah be accepted unconditionally. Allow it to be just as it is, because otherwise they're not going to accept you as people. What were you going to say, Eliezer?
Oh, I'm wondering who are these people that were saying that
the non-Jews?
Yeah,
it could be anybody that comes by. It could have included Hiram, who helped build the base of Mikdash in the first place, or anybody else who comes by, right? Yeah, all of them would be included in that. Then it says in Pasuk Lamedalik, it's Amchali Mochama Aloyvav. When your people go out to war against their enemies, by Derech Asher Tishlachem, whatever road that you send them on, they will daven to you toward this city. That's one of the answers that you're supposed to daven toward Yerushalayim, that you have chosen, as well as the house that I've built for your name. You will listen from the heavens. As tefillah some, as tchina some, their tefillah and their supplication you should do their mishpat. When they send you kein adam, because there is no man that never sins. Right, and in that case, you became angry with them. You put them in front of their enemies, and they're captured by their captors to a land that's far away or close by. And they daven, they do tshuva in their hearts to the land, in the land that they were captured there. And they do tshuva and they supplicate to you. We did evil and we have sinned, etc. They do tshuva to you with all their hearts and all their souls. And they daven toward the land that you gave to their fathers, to the city that you have chosen, to the base of Mikdash that I have built up for your name. You should listen from the heavens up above. Their tefillahs, their tchinas, you should do their mishpat, and you will forgive the nation that have sinned to you. Now, my God, you know, your eyes should be open, your ears should be listening to tefillahs for all of the tefillahs that are happening in this place. And now, Kuma Hashem Elohim, get up, Hashem, my God, Linu Checha, go to your resting place, Arunu Zecha, and the Arun of your might. Kohanecha Hashem Elohim Yobashu Sishua, may your Kohanim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may they be dressed up in salvation. Mechasidecha Yizmuchu Batoiv, may all the good ones rejoice in everything that they have over here. Hashem Elohim Al Tosheb Bnei Mishchach, do not return the face of your anointed one. Zachor Lechased David Abdecha, please remember the chesed of David HaMelech, your servant right over here. The reason why I mention this over here is according to the Gemara, none of the doors would open for the Beis Hamikdash to be opened up and nothing would happen. Shlomo Melech was davening and davening and davening. Not until he said, Zachor Lechas de David Avdecha, as soon as he mentioned David HaMelech, his father, all of a sudden the doors opened, the gates opened, they were able to walk inside. And everyone who hated David HaMelech, who thought David HaMelech was wrong for anything that he might have done, all of a sudden they turned, their faces blanched. They turned all blackened like soot. And they were like, I can't believe this is what happened with David HaMelech, that everything is because of David HaMelech. They were shocked, right, because of that. Now, we get into Shlomo Melech with all the ceremonies over here. After everything had happened, right, there was an Esh that came down from Shemayim, and now he's going to do everything. He's going to, I guess you could say, like everything else over there. Now, in Melachim, it doesn't mention all the crazy things that happened about the Esh coming down and everything like that. The simple reason might be because they were used to it. They were sitting, when Melachim was written, right, they still saw the Beis HaMikdash. They knew what was happening in the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw the fires coming down from the heavens and doing all those types of things. In the times of Ezra, they had never seen it before. Yes, they had the second Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't have the same type of fire. So he's telling them, "Halo Shlomo Lispalo and Parak Zayin Pasagalof." When Shlomo finished davening about Ish Yordim and Ishmaim, the fire came down from the heavens. Vatocho Ayula Vazvachem Ukvodish Amaleis Avayis. It consumed the Ola and the Zvachem and the Kavod of Hashem, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, filled up the entire house. These people had never seen such a thing. Right, this audience that was listening to Ezra Sofer writing this all together, they couldn't believe what was happening over here or what they were hearing over here. All of Bnei Yisrael saw when the fire came down, and there was an honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that house. They bowed down to their face to the ground on the floor of Yishtachu. When they fully bowed, and they thanked God because he was good, and all of the people, they shechted zvachim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the halacha is that you're not allowed to bow down face to the ground on a stone floor, like this floor over here. Well, it's technically cement. You wouldn't be able to bow down on anything that is stone floor. The only place where you're allowed to bow down to your face and a stone floor is by the Beis HaMikdash itself. Nothing else. It was marble tile that was used, says the Radak, right over there. And that's the idea behind it. The other people did not bow down. You weren't allowed to bow down anywhere else. That's where they bowed down. Shlomo Melech, if you'll remember, was on top of the Kior or the Yam or whatever he was. He bowed down on top of that. He was like a head above the people so that everybody could see him. So he bowed down on top of that itself. It says, Vayizbach HaMelech Shlomo Zevach HaBakar. He started shechting cattle over here. Esri Mushnaim Elef, 22,000 cattle. I want you to think about that just for a second. 22,000 cattle were shechted on that day. Bitzon may have Esri Melef, 120,000 sheep. Vayachnechu is Beis Elokim, and they were mechanech. They dedicated the Beis Hamikdash Hamelech v'cholam, the people and the king and all the people. Akwanim al mishroisim umdim. The Akwanim stood by their mishmor wherever they were supposed to guard. V'alavim b'chlei shir Hashem asher asa David Hamelech. They sang with Klei Shir Hashem, with the musical instruments of Hashem, that David HaMelech had made. I don't think he made the musical instruments. I think he made the songs, but it could be he made musical instruments also to accompany the songs. Lohodos Hashem Kilo Ol Chastoy, the Halil David B'Adam, with the praises of David HaMelech in their hands, V'Akohanim Machzirim Negdom, and the Kohanim were blowing trumpets opposite them, V'Chol Yisrael Omdim, all of Bnei Yisrael got to stand and watch all of this performance. I've said this before, I'm not positive this is all correct. This may have been the very first symphony. I don't know if there was such a thing. We said this before, right? We said songs always existed, and we have that from the times of Yuval, who made all the musical instruments, etc., right? But did they have a symphony where everyone together and they put together a whole whatever it is? I don't know if they did before the times of the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan, right? Whether they did or not, I have absolutely no idea. But that's the idea behind what were they were doing over here. By Kadesh Shlomo, it says in Pasuk Zionist, Toch Achotzer, he was Mekadeshed, he sanctified it, the middle of the Chotzer, because they didn't have a choice. There was not enough room on the Mizbeach, even how big the Mizbeach was, 50 by 50 feet. That's how big the Mizbeach was. There still wasn't enough room for all the Korbanos. You have 22,000 and 120,000, right? Korbanos that you're bringing up, the 142,000 Korbanos. So they had to sanctify the floor so they could bring korbanos on the floor as the mizbeach that was in front of Kiyas Hashem, Ozas Chov Hashem, and the fats of the peace offerings. Excuse me, mizbeach nechoshes atzal Shlomo lo yachol ha'akos ayuv asam mincha vasa chalavim. The mizbeach nechoshes, simply put, was not big enough to hold everything. Ve'yas Shlomo sechog, and then that's that. Shlomo Melech also made Esachog, a full celebration by Yisrael, Shivas Yamim, for 7 days, of Yisrael Yimok Kal Gadol. All Bnei Yisrael was with them for a Kal Gadol Ma'ayid. Milavo Chamas at Nachum Etzrayim. They came from Lavo Chamas all the way up by Chamas, all the way down to Nachum Etzrayim, the river of Egypt, which is by the Sinai Peninsula. V'yasav Yom HaShmini Atzeres Kain, Ki Chanukas Mizbeach Asu Shivas Yamim, Achog Shivas Yamim. Then they made Shmini Atzeres as well, because the dedication of the Mizbeach was for 7 days, and then they celebrated Sukkot for 7 days, which means, by the way, that means that they were celebrating on Yom Kippur. Now, we said this before, Yom Kippur was not a Yom Kippur that year. They did not fast that year. They did not daven all day long that year. They partied during that year for 7 days up until the 15th. The 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th were all parties. Then they made Sukkot for the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21. And Shemini Atzeres was the day after that. Yom Esther v'Shlosh L'Chodesh, the 23rd day of the month of Ashvi, of the 7th month of Tishrei. Shilach Zom La'aleim, he sent them all home to their tents. Smeichem v'tov elev, they were happy and good of heart. Alatova Shasa Hashem LeDavid L'Shlomo Yisrael Amo, on the goodness that Hashem did to David, making everyone know how great David HaMelech was by opening up the gates for him, for Shlomo Melech, showing what kind of a king he was, how awesome he was, and what kind of a king, etc. And for Bnei Yisrael, even Bnei Yisrael, every single person was able to see the Shechina, and when they went home, they found that either their wife was pregnant with a baby boy, or they themselves impregnated their wives with a baby boy. So they all had baby boys on that day itself, right? Everybody saw the greatness that had happened, that David HaMelech had a son this great, that all the great things that you can think of all happened on that day itself. Now, the number seven, the reason why they had a seven-day celebration, why seven specifically? It seems that the number seven is a cycle in time. The cycle in time that goes through, obviously, it's a week, right? Shemitah is 7 years. Yovel is seven sets of 7 years, right? Pesach and Sukkot are both 7 days. I know Shemini Atzeres is a little bit off, but 7 days altogether. The concept of all these, the 7 weeks of a Sfira cycle, etc., of how you count Shavuos up until Shavuos, seven is a number that denotes completion. So when you have completion, seven is a good day to be able to have a Chanukah Sabayis, to be able to have the inauguration work out well and everything like that. So that's what they ended up doing over here. Some say that they did fast on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur was treated in the normal way. They celebrated in every other way possible, but they still fasted all Yom Kippur long. Others say, no, they did not at all. They didn't keep that whatsoever, and everything was completely different. One halacha that is learned out from these psukim over here is Ein Ma'orvin Simcha B'Simcha. You don't mix Simcha B'Simcha. That's why Sukkot was separated from those 7 days over there. They did not mix the Simchas with one another, and therefore Sukkot was not like the other days right over there. Okay, let's see. Can we finish this before we go inside? Yeah, let's go on for right now. The Echal Shlomo's Beis Hashem. Shlomo Melech finished the Beis Hamikdash of Hashem. Beis Hamikdash in the house of the king, the palace. They go up all leave Shlomo, and everyone who had entered Shlomo's mind, Lasu Beis Hashem, with Beis Oitzliach, to do whatever they wanted to do in the Beis Hamikdash of Hashem and his house. Whatever he wanted to do, he was matzliach. He was matzliach in absolutely everything over here. Vayera Hashem al Shlomo v'alayla. Hashem appeared to Shlomo Melech and the Nevi Yomelech Shemati Yisfilo Sech. I heard your tefillah. B'charti b'makom hazeh li'levayit beis zavach. And I chose this place as a place for, offerings to me. Hein etzor Hashem v'lo yamator. Behold, if I hold up the heavens and there won't be any rain, and if I command the locusts to come, the gamash lach davar ba'amim, if there's a plague, and the people humble themselves that I call my name upon them, they daven, they request my face, so to speak, and they do tshuva from their evil ways, and I will hear from the heavens, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. My eyes will be open, my ears will be listening. Let's feel some welcome except for all the feels going on in this place. Now I have chosen, he says, sanctified this base shum for my name to be there out forever. My eyes and heart will be there all the days. If you walk in front of me the way that David melted, you're going to do everything that I command you to, and you keep all my and I establish the keys of your malchus kasher karati l'David Avicha l'emor, like I said, like I did for David Melch, your father, saying, but if you turn away, you don't do my mitzvos that I put in front of you, and you do other, you worship other gods, and you bow down to them, then I will destroy you from on my ground that I gave to you. That's a bayi zasharik dashi lishmi, and all of my house that I've sanctified for my name, ashlich me'al panai, I will throw them all away, v'atnenu l'mashav l'shinu b'chol amim, and I will make it as a parable and a conversation piece among the other nations. V'abayi zashar ya elyon, l'chol v'ar lov yishayim, this house that is will become above or everything else, it'll be destroyed. V'ar b'mal sasham k'chol ha'arzilos, and people will say, why did this happen to this land? V'abayi zan to this base, v'amr al-shar azwa sasham l'kehav l'shem, because they were forsook Hashem, the God of their fathers, v'otziyam eretzim, that brought them out from Mitzrayim, yachzikub they did other gods, and therefore all of this evil happened upon them. And that's the idea behind it. Obviously, it's exactly what happened. When Nebuchadnezzar came in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you slew a nation that was already meant to be dead. You destroyed a house that was already meant to be destroyed. That's what happened to this nation. That's what it was supposed to be with this nation. All right, let's stop right here for a second.